I'm planning to look at the topic of spiritual disciplines. And so I went online and I came across an article. This was on the website called BibleReasons.com, but it said that spiritual disciplines are biblical practices that a believer does to grow spiritually in Christ. That's what spiritual disciplines are. Now, I would like to highlight the word does in there. Spiritual disciplines are biblical practices that a believer does. These are activities. These are things that we do that help us grow spiritually. They're not necessarily spiritual gifts. They're not necessarily character qualities, but they are activities. They're practices, things that we do in our lives for the purpose of growing spiritually. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity to answer. If I were to ask you this evening what spiritual disciplines you have in your life or you do in your life, what would you tell me? What are those things that you practice or you do in your life that promote spiritual growth? Okay, devotions every day. Good. Praying. What else? Okay, singing. Okay, scripture memorization. That is one that we'll talk about that one briefly. That's something that we expect our children to do in school. And yet, as adults, my guess is that most of us don't do lots of memorization. But that is definitely a discipline, a spiritual discipline. Some of the others that I have here are fasting and evangelism, fellowship. Some of these can be spiritual disciplines as well. I came across another article. This one was on learnreligions.com, and the title of the article was Overview of Spiritual Disciplines and How They Work. Well, they took the spiritual disciplines and kind of divided them into three sections. First of all, they said we have internal disciplines. These are ones that we practice in our own lives personally. Things like praying. Group that they gave was the corporate disciplines, and these, of course, are things that we would do in a group setting. And so oftentimes singing and our worship is a spiritual discipline in a sense, our fellowship. There's a couple other things that I would like to point out in regards to spiritual disciplines. Going back to that definition that I gave you, spiritual disciplines are biblical practices that a believer does to grow spiritually in Christ. Spiritual disciplines are biblical practices. And so these are things that are either taught or at least modeled within Scripture. Sometimes people seem to get the idea that their hobbies are a spiritual discipline. You know, you might hear people say that I feel more refreshed and enriched sitting in my tree stand than when I'm sitting in my office reading the Bible. Well, that's not quite what we're talking about. Okay, maybe there is enjoyment or refreshment in that, in enjoying nature, solitude, meditation in your tree stand. But that's not necessarily a spiritual discipline. Okay, these are biblical practices. Like I said, they're either taught in Scripture or at least modeled for us in Scripture. Gardening might be the same way. Sure, it might be rejuvenating or therapeutic, we might say, but it's not necessarily a spiritual discipline. Secondly, spiritual disciplines often require a level of work. Okay, there's a reason they're called spiritual disciplines. You know, most of the activities that we will talk about this week are not necessarily ones that you would naturally find yourself doing unless you've disciplined yourself to do so. Okay, it's something that we practice, and we need to put some work into it. We need to put some focused effort into it. Now, with that being said, I believe that there is definitely a sense of fulfillment and joy in these activities as well. And so it's not just work. They're not all difficult. There is fulfillment in that as well. Another thing I'd like to point out here yet is that spiritual disciplines are a means, not an end. In other words, we practice spiritual disciplines in our lives for the purpose of spiritual growth. Okay, we're not just, you know, focusing on our Bible reading so that we can check the box. Yes, I read the Bible every day. You know, that's not the end goal. Okay, but instead, we focus on studying the Bible so that we might grow spiritually. And so spiritual disciplines, we could say they're kind of like a pathway that lead us to spiritual growth. It's a means, it's an avenue that we use to help us grow spiritually. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, "Exercise thyself rather unto godliness." And so if we just take that simple phrase right there, you know, that exercise is the spiritual discipline. Okay, that's the discipline that we're involved in or that we practice. Godliness is the goal. Okay? Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And so the end goal or the focus really is the godliness. Now, I would also like to point out with this that while spiritual disciplines are a means to an end, they are not a means by which we earn our salvation. And I think we would understand that and agree on that. You know, the Bible is very clear that we are saved by grace through faith. It's not that we can earn or achieve our salvation. It's not that we can ever read the Bible enough or pray or fast enough to earn our salvation. Okay? And so that's not what we're going for. Okay? However, if you are a born-again believer and you are concerned about growing in Christ and growing and maturing spiritually, that's where these disciplines come in. Dwayne Weber uses an illustration, and maybe you've heard him talk about this before, but he refers to point A and point B in our lives. And so if you can imagine or picture a little pathway, maybe it's leading through the woods or along the edge of the woods, a scenic pathway, right? Well, point A on that path would refer to where we are right here this evening. Okay, where are you at in your spiritual life? And that's point A. Point B, of course, is referring to something that's farther down the line or farther down that path. It might be around the bend. We're not quite sure where that is. But it's the idea is that we're moving along that path. We're moving from point A to point B. We don't know, or we might not know, what that point B looks like. But the idea is that we're moving, that we're growing. And so my question is, what is it going to take for you to move from point A to point B? What are those things that are necessary in order to keep you moving along in your spiritual life, to keep you growing in your spiritual life? You know, sometimes I'm afraid we as Christians can sort of become content right where we're at. You know, we have some good spiritual disciplines or some good habits and practices in our lives, but sometimes we can kind of become stagnant right where we're at, or become satisfied right where we're at. And so, what is it going to take this week to move us along toward point B, to bring that spiritual growth in our lives? I have several goals for our week together. First of all, I would like to remind you of the benefits of practicing these spiritual disciplines. And I use the word remind because I believe all of the spiritual disciplines that we talk about this week are probably not really going to be new to you. These are things that you've probably heard talked about before. Maybe you've heard them preached about before. And so they're not necessarily new to you. But I would like to remind you of the benefits of these spiritual disciplines. Secondly, my prayer is that we would gain a fresh desire for spiritual growth. Like I said, one of our tendencies as Christians is that we just kind of kick back, relax, and we feel comfortable where we're at. And so my second goal is that we would gain a fresh desire for moving on to point B, for growing in our spiritual lives. Do you really want to grow spiritually in the next year or 2 years or 5 years? And so my goal is that we would have a fresh desire or a renewed vision for spiritual growth. And then thirdly, that we would actually make the necessary changes. My goal is that by the end of this week, each person here sets one goal in one area that we talk about. That's my goal. I'm hoping that each one of us can set some type of goal for growth in at least one area. And so we're going to talk about a number of these different disciplines. And so I would invite you to think about that and consider, what is God calling you to this week? And set a goal in that area. Just to give you a brief outline of where we're going this week, for the first three evenings, we're going to focus more on those internal disciplines. And so this evening, we're going to talk about reading the Word of God, reading and studying the Word of God. Tomorrow, I plan to talk about prayer, as well as the discipline of solitude. It's one that maybe we don't talk about quite as much. Wednesday evening, we're going to look at the spiritual discipline of fasting. On Thursday and Friday, we're going to switch gears just a little bit, getting away from the internal disciplines. And Thursday, I plan to look at the discipline of giving. And then Friday, we'll talk about the discipline of fellowship. And that, of course, refers to us as a group, or you all as a group. And the discipline that it takes in having that fellowship among a body of believers. And so this evening, we're going to be looking at the discipline of studying the Word, or reading the Word. In 2021, the Barna Group released the results of a study that they had conducted in conjunction with the American Bible Society. The data was collected over the course of 10 years, and they were trying to analyze how the American population perceives and engages with the Bible in our society. Well, according to their results, they claimed that 71% of American adults claimed that they have used the Bible on their own, meaning outside of church functions or church activities, at least once within the past year. So 71% have used the Bible on their own at least once in the past year. About 34% of American adults use the Bible on their own at least once a week. And then they said that 11% of American adults claim that they use the Bible on a daily basis. So that's roughly 1 out of 10 American adults claim that they use the Bible on a daily basis, aside from church activities. Now, I don't know if those numbers surprise you. I honestly thought maybe that's a little higher than I would have guessed. 1 out of 10 people. I didn't know that number was quite that high in our culture today. They also reported that 30% of American adults strongly believe that the Bible contains everything a person needs to live a meaningful life. Once again, I'm not sure I would have guessed that number being 30%, but that's what they reported. Well, this evening I would like for us to evaluate our own engagement with the Word of God. And we're going to look at this topic basically in two broad questions or two broad sections. First of all, why do we do this? Why do we study the Word of God? And then secondly, how do we do it? And I'd like to get into maybe more of the practical tips and things like that. So, why do we study the Word of God? Well, first of all, I think we need to remember who God is. Isaiah 40 and verse 28 says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding." I'm going to read a few verses out of Jeremiah 10 as well. Jeremiah 10 and verses 10 to 13 say this, "But the Lord is the true God, he is the living God, and an everlasting king. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. That is describing the God that we serve. This God is the true God. He is the living God. He is an everlasting King. Okay? And that's the God that we serve. Numbers 23 and verse 19 says, God is not man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? And so first of all, we need to understand that this God that we're talking about is the Almighty God. He's an everlasting God. He is an eternal God. That last verse that I read there in Numbers talks about the fact that God is truth. Everything about God is completely and entirely true. He's not a man that he should lie. God is truth. He is full of truth. And so, with that picture of God in mind, this is God's word to us. And in a sense, that is enough reason for us to study the word of God. What is it that this God of the universe is wanting me to know? What is he trying to say to me? 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all Scripture was given to us by inspiration of God. God himself inspired the words of Scripture. He inspired the writers to write these words down, and he has preserved his words through the ages for us today. That verse goes on to tell us that the Word of God is profitable for several things. This Bible that you have on your lap, this Bible is profitable for doctrine. That's truth, okay? The truth about what we believe is found in God's Word. That's the doctrine. John 17, Jesus says to his Father, "Thy Word is truth." 2 Timothy tells us that the Word of God is profitable for reproof. When we read the Word of God, it reveals to us where we've done wrong. That's what reproof is all about. The Word of God is profitable for correction. Okay, when we've done wrong, now what do we do? Okay, and so it's profitable for correction. It explains the plan of redemption in God's Word. And then last of all, the Word of God is profitable for instruction in righteousness. You know, the Bible is God's instruction to us. It's through His Word that we can know how we ought to live to bring honor and glory to God. Okay? And that's from God's Word. We find that in God's Word. And so that is the reason that we study God's Word. There's a number of other verses that we could look at and turn to that talk about the importance of God's Word. Jesus says in Matthew 24, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Isaiah also says something very similar, "The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." So once again, that's pointing to the truth of God's word, the validity of God's word. Psalm 119 says that the word of God, or it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so I honestly believe that the word of God ought to be that guide for us each and every day. Referring back to 2 Timothy, that instruction in righteousness. You know, this is where we receive instruction for our lives. The last thing I want to point out here with why we study the Word of God is that the Word of God is powerful. Now, your mind might automatically go to Hebrews when I say that. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful." ESV says, "living and active." "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so there is power in the Word of God. We could go to Ephesians 6, where Paul writes to us about the armor of God. And he tells us that we ought to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay, and so there's power there. It is a spiritual weapon, so to speak. At least that's how Paul refers to it. In Matthew chapter 4, we have an account where Jesus himself was tempted. And you're probably aware, for all three of those temptations that the devil brought to Jesus, he quoted Scripture. And so there is power in the Word of God. And so I believe that's another reason why we need to be students of the Word of God. We need to be reading and studying God's Word to us. God's Word is truth, and it is profitable to us for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. And thirdly, there is power in God's Word. And so, how do we do this? How do we study God's Word? How do we practically become a student of God's Word? And this is where I'd like to talk a little bit more about specifics. What does it actually look like in your life and in my life? In just a bit, or as we go through this section, I am planning to give you the opportunity to share again. I think there is value in hearing what other people have learned or tried. And so I am planning to give you some opportunity to share. If you go online and search tips for daily Bible reading, there are lots of articles that pop up. It seems like every Christian ministry or organization has at least one blog post about establishing good habits in daily Bible reading. And so there's lots of information out there, and many of them do have good advice or good tips. Some maybe not so much, but there is some good advice out there. And so my encouragement to us this evening is that you consider and evaluate where you're at this evening. I don't know what your habits look like or your morning routine or what that is, but maybe as we think about spiritual disciplines and beyond that, spiritual growth this week, maybe God is calling you to take it to the next step, whatever that may be. There may be some people here who don't really have a consistent daily Bible reading plan. And so maybe that's where God is calling you toward. There might be other people who consistently read the Word of God, and so maybe God is calling you toward a little bit more Bible study, actually studying the Word of God, not just reading through it, or maybe Bible memorization. And so, first of all, how do we establish a consistent habit? Well, there's 4 points that I have here, and I've found these in different places. Different people kind of use these as the 4 steps of establishing a consistent habit of reading God's Word. The first one is to choose a time, and then choose a place, choose a plan, and then step 4 varies a little bit, but I'm just going to say to stick to it, or maybe like a Nike commercial, just do it, right? So first of all, choosing a time. Choose a time where you can be consistent in this habit or in this discipline. For many people, the morning works best. Not for everybody. For myself, evenings are not as consistent. We have plans in the evenings, and so I find that the morning works best for me. I would also suggest choose a time where you are able to focus, maybe when there's not that many distractions. And so if you have young children in the home, like myself, in the morning, before they're out of bed, is ideal. Maybe it's at 1:30 when all the children go down for naps. I don't know. But choose a time where you can be consistent and where you are able to focus, where there are fewer distractions. I am curious how many of you choose to read the Word of God first thing in the morning. It's part of your morning routine. Okay. I figured, good, thank you. Most of you, which is what I figured would probably be the case. Anyone choose to read the Word of God before bed at nighttime? Okay, just a couple of you. Good. Any other times of day that you have found works well for you? Yeah. Anyone want to share When is that time? Okay, in the middle of the day, break time. I've heard of, some other people doing that as well. You know, lunchtime is a time when they punch out. You have 30 minutes, and, that is their quiet time. Yeah, that works, too. Good. The second one is to choose a place. And here again, I would say those same two factors are probably important as we think about choosing a place for our Bible reading, Bible study. Choose a location that you can be consistent and also where you can focus and you can avoid distractions. For myself, I generally sit at my desk. Occasionally, I will deviate from that, but not real often. I know of another brother who the back porch is his place to meet with God. And he says in the wintertime, he has a heater close by, and in the summertime, he has a fan close by, but that is his place where he will sit and read the Word of God. He says, his desk and in his office, that's where he sits down to do paperwork and pay bills and that kind of thing. And so he would rather not sit at his desk to read the Word of God. And so here again, choose a place where this is your sacred place in a sense, where you engage with the Word of God, reading and studying the Word of God. The third area then is to choose a plan. And this one, here again, I'd love to hear some people's feedback. There are countless programs and options for guiding you in your time of Bible study. I personally do not use a devotional book. How many of you use some sort of devotional book, whether a one-year devotion or maybe Beside the Still Waters or Daily Bread? These are good. Some people prefer that. It kind of guides them from day to day. I prefer more of a simple Bible reading plan that takes me through Scripture on a scheduled basis. I also prefer something to cross off. I don't know, maybe it's just my personality, but I like to have a printed paper where I can check off the boxes after I've read it. And so some people might prefer that. Some people have these plans where they know they read two chapters from the Old Testament, one chapter from the New, and a psalm or something like that. And maybe that works for you. Like I said, there are a number of different plans that people use. There's a website that I've used a few times. It's called BibleReadingPlanGenerator.com or something like that. And you can decide or check, type in what day you want to start and how many days you want to do this plan. So January 1st for 365 days, and it will generate a Bible reading plan for you. And so I'm curious, what plans have you used or liked or maybe didn't like? What do you find helpful for you? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Okay. Okay. Yeah, good. Yeah, nowadays there's plenty of apps out there as well. Good. The fourth area then, like I said, is to stick to it or just do it, right? And this, I believe, is where our Bible reading really becomes a spiritual discipline. There is just an element of personal discipline involved in our Bible reading. The fact is that it takes some discipline, it takes some effort, it takes some focus. Now, with that being said, I do believe that the more you get into the habit, the more you will enjoy it, and you will look forward to it. I know for myself, I look forward to getting up in the morning and reading the Word of God, and that is not always the case, or that was not always the case. I know there was a time in my life when it took some effort, it took some work, but there is fulfillment in that, and there is enjoyment in it. And so, there are different things that you can do that may help you stick with it, or maybe provide some accountability. Some people will begin a Bible reading plan with somebody else. Maybe it's your spouse, or maybe it's a friend from church, and sort of keep each other accountable in that way. Maybe set smaller goals on a two-week or a monthly basis. Set a smaller goal for yourself, something that's very achievable, and sort of build discipline in that way. Some people suggest to reward yourself somehow. I typically wouldn't do that, but maybe that works for you. Another piece of advice I came across, and I thought this was helpful, they had said, don't even skip it, even just once. And they said it's kind of like an addiction. When you do it once, it's easier to do it the second time. And so when you skip your Bible reading once, it's easier to do it the second time. And so, maybe that can be helpful to you. Now, all of these suggestions are for those who maybe are struggling to make Bible reading and study a consistent habit. And so if that is you, I would encourage you to, like I said, set a goal for yourself. Okay, choose a plan and stick with it. Maybe ask someone to keep you accountable in that. Now, what about those of us or those of you who already have a consistent habit of reading the Word of God? Okay, does that mean that we've taken this spiritual discipline and we've checked the box, we've got this one, right? We're doing well. Well, maybe not necessarily. Remember my illustration with point A and point B. Point A is probably different for each one of us here. And yet I believe that God's desire for each one of us is growth and maturity. And so how can you take your current habit of reading the Bible and take that to the next step? How can you grow in this spiritual discipline, but then beyond that, allowing it to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ? I would encourage you to move beyond just reading. I don't know how many of you keep a highlighter in your hand as you're reading, or a pen or something, and underline phrases. What stood out to you in your Bible reading this morning? Maybe you take one verse or one phrase and write it on a sticky note. Take it with you. Nowadays, you have sticky notes on your phone. You can use the little widget right on your home screen. Put a verse on there as you go throughout your day. Like I said, my encouragement would be to move beyond just reading the Word of God. Sometimes it is easy for us to fall into the routine of opening up our Bibles, reading our two chapters, closing our Bibles, and hurrying on our way. And so make it a point to actually study the Word of God. The Bible that I use here is a King James Study Bible. And so there's some annotations and side notes and things like that. And sometimes it's helpful to kind of read, and you get a better insight for what the verses are saying. And so I invite you to set a goal for yourself in this discipline of God's Word. Remember, these disciplines are a means that will bring about spiritual growth in our lives. I do have a paper that I would like to hand out to you this evening. It is, I guess, a homework assignment. I told you I'm a school teacher, right? And so the purpose of this assignment is basically to get you to think. It's to help you identify point A in your life. And so there are some questions on here. The first thing it says on this paper is to not write your name on it. This will be anonymous, and I do plan to collect them tomorrow evening at the beginning of class. Go ahead and take one per person. And if there's any questions on here that maybe don't apply to you, you're welcome to skip over it. Um. I guess if anyone did not get one, I have some extras up here. Like I said, the purpose of this is to help you think and process, think about where you're at in your spiritual life right now. All right. Well, thank you all for your attention this evening, and God bless each one of you. I will see you tomorrow evening.